cried the Rat, open-mouthed. "Never been in a... You never... Well, what have you been doing, then?" "Is it so nice as all that?" asked the Mole shyly, though he was quite prepared to believe it, as he leant back in his seat and surveyed the cushions, the oars, the rollocks, and all the fascinating fittings, and felt the boat sway lightly under him.
"Nice? It's the only thing,"
said the Water Rat solemnly, as he leant forward for his stroke.
"Believe me, my young friend, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, half so much worth doing as simply messing about in boats."
"Simply messing," he went on dreamily. "Messing about in boats. Messing..."
"Look ahead, Rat!"
cried the Mole suddenly. It was too late. The boat struck the bank full tilt. The dreamer, the joyous oarsman, lay on his back at the bottom of the boat, his heels in the air.
"About in boats, or with boats," the Rat went on composedly, picking himself up with a pleasant laugh. "In or out of them, it doesn't matter. Look here, if you've really nothing else on hand this morning, suppose we drop down the river together and have a long day of it."
The Mole waggled his toes from sheer happiness, spread his chest with a sigh of full contentment, and leaned back blissfully into the soft cushions.
"What a day I'm having," he said.
"Let us start at once."
Hold hard a minute, then, said the Rat.
He looped the painter through a ring in his landing stage, climbed up into his hole above, and after a short interval, reappeared staggering under a fat wicker luncheon basket.
"Shove that under your feet," he observed to the Mole, as he passed it down into the boat.
Then he untied the painter and took the sculls again.
"What's inside it?"
asked the Mole, wriggling with curiosity.
"There's cold chicken inside it," replied the Rat briefly. "Cold tongue, cold ham, cold beef, pickled gherkins, salad, French rolls, cress sandwiches, potted meat, ginger beer, lemonade, soda water..."
"Oh, stop! Stop! Stop!" cried the Mole in ecstasies. "This is too much!"
"Do you really think so?" inquired the Rat seriously. "It's only what I always take on these little excursions, and the other animals are always telling me that I'm a mean beast and cut it very fine."
The Mole never heard a word he was saying. Absorbed in the new life he was entering upon, intoxicated with the sparkle, the ripple, the scents and the sounds and the sunlight, he trailed a paw in the water and dreamed long waking dreams. The Water Rat, like the good little fellow he was, sculled steadily on and forbore to disturb him.
"I like your clothes awfully, old chap," he remarked after some half an hour or so had passed. "I'm going to get a black velvet smoking suit myself some day, as soon as I can afford it."
"I beg your pardon," said the Mole, pulling himself together with an effort. "You must think me very rude, but all this is so new to me. So, this is... a river."
"The river," corrected the Rat.
"And you really live by the river? Oh, what a jolly life."
"By it, and with it, and on it, and in it," said the Rat. "It's brother and sister to me, and aunts, and company, and food and drink, and, naturally, washing. It's my world, and I don't want any other. What it hasn't got is not worth having, and what it doesn't know is not worth knowing. Lord, the times we've had together."
"What lies over there?" asked the Mole, waving a paw towards a background of woodland that darkly framed the water meadows on one side of the river.
That's just the wildwood," said the Rat shortly. "We don't go there very much, we river bankers."
Aren't they very nice people in there?" said the Mole, a trifle nervously.
"Well," replied the Rat, "let me see. The squirrels are all right, and the rabbits, some of them, but rabbits are a mixed lot. And then there's Badger, of course. He lives right in the heart of it. Wouldn't live anywhere else either if you paid him to do it. Dear old Badger, nobody interferes with him." "They'd better not," he added significantly.
The Mole knew well that it is quite against animal etiquette to dwell on possible trouble ahead, or even to allude to it, so he dropped the subject. "And beyond the wild wood again," he asked, "where it's all blue and dim, and one sees what may be hills, or perhaps they meant, and something like the smoke of towns, or is it only cloud drift?"